So we're having a discussion over on Facebook about whether or not open office programming works or not. And it's the kind of thing that is really, you don't discuss it well unless you are, you can't think about it well unless you're in the middle of the thing that can't be interrupted. So I just made a whole series of changes to a piece of software that's reasonably complex because it does, you know, because people have expectations about how software works, and it's good to have the software bend to that, which often means that the implementation isn't quite as simple as one would like. The most straightforward way to do it often isn't the intuitive way for a human being. So that first you realize that. Then you go through the steps that you need to make the change to the code, and you want to do it so that you don't spend 5 hours doing something that could be done in 5 minutes. So you load up your brain with and you make some notes if you need to about the things that you need to do to make this change. And then in the middle of it, so it's like this whole stack of things, like you're walking across the room with a stack of soup bowls, each one's full and hot. And there are people sitting all around you. I don't mean the people in the room. I just mean the things that could be broken if you drop one or all of the bowls. And then you realize, oh, there's this whole other thing I didn't even think of. And now you have to somehow maneuver to get the next stack of bowls onto a hand that you don't have. And so now you're in what I would think of as a critical section. And there is such a thing in software as a critical section, but the concept applies to human beings too. If code is in a critical section, that means if it gets interrupted, it crashes. And, you know, the thread loses access to the thing that it absolutely has to have access to in order to continue. Well, what happens in my world is I drop the bowl. All the bowls at once, and then I'm stuck standing there thinking about what I'm going to have to do to, like, get all those bowls back exactly where they were. And the second time through, it's incredibly depressing because you realize how all the things that you had in your head the first time you went through this area that you have since moved on from because there's only so much complexity that you can hold in your head. And all that was because somebody wanted to know what you're doing for lunch. Or you overheard a conversation in far across the room where somebody mentioned your name. Or whatever it is, or, you know, something perfectly innocent, like the cleaning person needs to come into your office. This is assuming you have an office with a door that closes, to basically sweep off your desk and close all the windows. And this is their job. They've been told they have to do this, whether or not there's a person in there or not. Of course, the person who told them whether or not to do this is not only a person who doesn't understand programming, but thinks that programmers are prima donnas and they're so particular that I'm just going to go bust their jobs. And believe me, those people exist. So to say that it's programmers, you know, like I have two twins at home, so I'm good at dealing with interruptions. No, you have no idea. A better analogy is I have a patient open on the table, and the patient is on anesthesia that lasts 3 minutes. I need to crack open the patient's chest, make a change, and then quickly sew it back up, or else we're going to be in the operating room for the next 5 days. And the cost, which previously would have been about $25, is now going up to about $2.5 million. So either you might want to conclude that programmers are deficient characters or something, but in fact, what we do is very complicated. And if I guess we were wearing VR goggles, you might believe that we were in a different world. We're not, you know, the intellectual space that we occupy is what determines whether or not you get the software that you want. So it is highly pragmatic. It is not somebody being, a prima donna or whatever. It's called concentration. And some intellectual jobs require just intense amounts because we try to push the envelope and we try to give people what they expect, what they want. And that requires unnatural acts of concentration. So if you think you've got the math down for, you know, why it works to have programmers sitting in the middle of a room, you're saving a little bit of rent. I don't know what else you're saving. You're certainly not improving communication, because what you're doing is you're creating a bunch of people who have to figure out other ways to build barriers around them, because you won't let them have a physical barrier around them. And those barriers don't work. I mean, you know, I've tried at times, you know, putting the headphones on and listening to loud music so I won't be interrupted in places where interruptions are illegal, like the New York Public Library main reading room, which is a very quiet place. But in order to work there, I still need to put the headphones on. And I can do certain kinds of work that way. But anything that involves large stacks of plates and bowls with hot shit and people all over the place that could get burned by this stuff, I'm not even beginning to contemplate anything like that in that context. So it's good that people care about programming now, but you really do need to work on what it is we actually do. So, all right, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.